for the last several weeks, we have been having a series entitled The Fork in the Road. We enjoyed hearing some testimonies of from the Martins the first week, where there was multiple times that they could have really just said, you know, this whole serving God thing is for the birds. I keep loving Jesus and keep depending on Him, and I still keep getting cancer. And then my children get in an accident, and one of them ends up being confined to a wheelchair. And it's just been one thing after another. But you know what? They just haven't turned from God. The forks in the road that they faced brought them closer to the Lord. At the times where they could have said no, they turned instead towards the Lord and said, Lord, you're my strength. I can depend on you. I place my faith and trust in you. You can be counted on. And God has been faithful, Joanne and Phil and Zach and the rest of you, the Martin family. And then we looked at a few weeks ago, we had Jason Nikolaisen, and he showed up here about 3.5 years ago, just out of the blue, on a Sunday morning. In my mind, just out of the blue, the Lord was taking care of this. And he came in at the end of the service one Sunday, and I didn't know him. I didn't recognize him, and he looked like he was looking for somebody. So he was about right here, and his back was to me, and I went up to him, and I said, are you looking for someone? Which happened to be the exact answer that I needed to ask him, a question that I needed to ask him, because the answer was he was looking for Jesus. The Lord had been working in his life through a series of circumstances. The forks in his road were that he just ran away from God. He just ran away from God. Every fork in the road took him further and further away from what God wanted in his life. But yet, let me just say this. Every fork in the road that we take away from God doesn't get us further away from God, because God's always with us by his Spirit, convicting us of sin and loving on us. It's just that we're just doing our own thing, but he stays with us the whole way, speaking to our hearts. And then it was a fork in his road where he was deciding whether should he take his life or should he come to church. And thank God he chose to come to this church. And thank God for Google, because he Googled churches near where he lived. And so Google saved, you know, brought, God used Google to bring someone to the Lord. Isn't that good? And so Jason accepted the Lord that day, and he has not turned back. Talk about repentance. He was going this way, and now he's going this way. And it's a blessing to have Jason as part of Faith Assembly, and Cynthia as well. And then last week, we heard from our dear, sweet Faye Reynolds, who, you know, you look at Faye, and she's what we'll call a seasoned woman of God, okay? She's been coming to this particular church for over 25 years. And you look at Faye and you think, oh, she's sweet, and she's solid, she's smart, she's funny, she loves the Lord. But you just don't realize the story that she had, and that at 36 years old, her husband decided he didn't want to be married anymore to her. And with two little boys, a 9 and 11-year-old, of which one of them is here today, all grown up, Stephen Reynolds, she didn't turn from the Lord. She didn't know the Lord growing up. She didn't even get raised in church. And she had a harsh, stern father. But thank goodness and thank the Lord for a Sunday school teacher who invited her to live with her when it got really difficult, you know, at her house. And she went and accepted the Lord one day in church where she just heard the gospel. We cannot assume in America that everyone has heard the gospel. In the United States of America, there's people, especially today. I mean, you think back then when she was 14 that she hadn't heard from the Lord. And she's not 14 anymore. And we think, you know, people know who Jesus is. They don't. We can't assume that people knows the Lord. So one of the points that we make with last week is that we can't assume that people know the Lord. And secondly, God's looking for more Sunday school teachers. If you know someone who might need a place to live, who's struggling, and you got a nice room, thank God that someone invited her to live with her, because that really helped her. And God's just looking for more pastors and Sunday school teachers and people at the church that are willing to open up their arms and say, what can I do to embrace you, to adopt you as my own, to bring you under my wings? And then in her 30s, her husband left her, and then she dealt with a couple of brain tumors. And so you look at, and God's healed her of that, but you look at her life and you think, wow, really, Faye, what's going on with you that you're still serving the Lord? But through each time, she leaned into the Lord. And God proved himself to be faithful, amen? And so those are just three stories. We have one more story to tell today, and you just never know. And as I said last week, everybody's got a story. In fact, I'm getting people writing me letters and saying, let me tell you my story. And they're showing up, you know, in my office. And thank you for those. And those are great stories. And if we had time, we could listen to everybody's story, but we would be here for many, many years. And so that's fine. Maybe we'll do this again sometime and we'll pull out a few more stories. But today, we want to round off this series of the fork in the road, which we have all faced at least one fork in the road. And the longer we're alive, the more forks we face. And what are we going to do, Brenda, with those forks, right? You just experienced a fork just not too recently. And you still, and now you're here today, and God used this situation in your life to cause you to run to Him and to cling to Him. But Shekinah safely is it Safely or Safely? Safely, Shekinah. I'm just going to say Shekinah. I love her name, Shekinah. We'll just call her Shekinah. Shekinah, what does that mean, Shekinah? The glory of God. So Shekinah is actually Joyce's daughter. And so we're going to call Shekinah and Trinity up. Trinity is Shekinah's daughter. So would you welcome them as they come up and share today? They have some stories to tell. Come on down. The glory of God. I should know that. Why don't I know that? Shekinah. I did. It just escaped me. So Shekinah, what we know of Shekinah. Oh, she's got notes. We're in trouble. A thick notebook, too.
This helps me keep focused.
Okay. So we over the last few weeks, been introducing folks, and people know who you are. They know somewhat of who you are. We met, was it the first time? You came here and worshiped for a while, but then I met you kind of in earnest. It happened to be at a hospital. I was visiting someone, and you were there, and you work at the hospital, and it was particularly your shift at that hospital on that particular day,
kind of bizarre because it was 6 a.m.
Yeah,
you float, it was for surgery.
That's bizarre for me too. 6 a.m. 6 a.m. is bizarre. But I was visiting someone at the church who was going in for surgery, and you were there, and we, hey, how you doing? One thing led to another, and we talked about the mission trip that we went on last year to Dominican Republic, and you and Trinity and several others, your brother Josh and others went. It was just a great time, probably one of the greatest missions trips that I've ever been on. It's just experienced God's power and God's ministry there. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit, particularly Trinity, with something that happened with you that on one of those particular nights while we were there. Mm-hmm. But you have since been attending Faith Assembly and have just rolled up your sleeves and gotten involved in the different ministries of the church. And I so appreciate your heart, your passion for the Lord. You love Jesus with all your heart. It's so encouraging. It's infectious. But tell us a little bit about, I know you have a fork or two in your road. So tell us, start where you would like and lead us to that place where that fork ended up causing you to make a decision.
Absolutely. First, since we talked about my name, I'm very blessed. Growing up, having the name Shekinah was always very difficult because I was called Shakita, Shaquana, everything but Shekinah. But as I've gotten older, understood the meaning of my name, it's an amazing testimony to bring to people because I get to explain what my name means all the time. So anywhere in the Old Testament of the Bible, when it talks about the glory of God, anywhere it talks about in the Holy of Holies, the cloud of glory or the presence of God speaking through with Moses in the burning bush, the glory of God, the Hebrew root word is the word the Shekinah, it's the Shekinah glory. So that's where it originates from, and I am blessed to tell people that quite often, every day almost, because it's such a unique word. Anyway, but, I just want to say is I have enjoyed these past few weeks of Fork in the Road and just knowing and hearing people's testimony. Everybody has a testimony because God is faithful and He is faithful in our journeys and our roads, and everybody has a story, and that's what makes it unique for each and every one of us. We all have a different story. Some of us, we've all been in church. Some of us haven't been in church. But the thing is that salvation is, you have to have an encounter with God in being born again. And so I would say is that through these couple weeks and seeing these testimonies and stuff and their stories of fork in the road, there's just not one fork in the road. Every day we have choices. And I wrote down right here last night as I was like meditating on what to speak on. I wrote down, every choice you make determines your destination. So everything that we do, every choice that we make is a fork. Sometimes there's five forks. Sometimes there's two forks. Sometimes everything that we do leads to our destination, whatever it is, every choice that we make. And a life is full of choices, right? Raise your hand. Do you guys make choices every day? Every day is a fork. Every day is a choice.
We chose what to wear today. We chose to come here today.
We chose to brush our teeth, right?
Some of us. Or not.
And I just want to share a scripture. It's the Amplified Bible, Matthew 7:13-14, talking about fork in the road. The most important decision that we've ever made was accepting Jesus. Yeah, true. Yeah. That is the most important thing. And it says in the Amplified Bible, it talks about a fork here. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straighted and compressed that leads away to life. And few are those who find it. And so I just want to say that's the biggest fork that should be heavy on our hearts every day is winning souls for Christ. Amen. Winning souls for Christ. When we've encountered Jesus, we should freely be able to share Jesus because that's what changes us. And that's the biggest fork in the Bible. It talks about these two forks. One's a lot straight. Yeah.
Gigi, this day yes. And you'll serve. Yeah.
So I will tell you a little bit about myself. And stay focused. Has anyone ever seen Pilgrim's Progress? If you ever know about John Bunyan and his story, if you ever, I encourage you guys to watch the original animated cartoon one that he wrote from his stories and from his book. So powerful. And when we've been doing this series, God's just been bringing me back to Pilgrim's Progress and about the spiritual warfare we all go through and about the roads that we take. Because Pilgrim's Progress, he always showed him. He had choices to make what road to take, and it was always the narrow road. But every time he did make the wrong decision and go down a different road, the Lord was always there to bring him up and place him back onto that road and that journey. So I just wanted to mention that because our lives are just like that, spiritual warfare. Anyway, so I will talk a little bit about my life. I will just say is that I have been raised in a Christian home. Both my parents were, I was raised with my parents being church planters and my dad had evangelistic ministry. So I was exposed to the Holy Spirit. I was exposed to seeing healings and miracles and things like that. So with that said, as I got older, one hindrance that being a pastor's kid that you kind of see in the church and is still today in the church today is hypocrisy. So I would see people and I would see things as a kid and grow as I'm growing up and being like, well, if God's this and I see God move this way, but then I see people act this way. And that really confused me. So I would say is that, you know, so there's times in my life where as I got older and when I came into my teenage years, I just began to just hang out with the wrong people. I just began to, and the thing is that I was really looking for the love of God. I was looking for the love of God to for that to be the answer. So a lot of times, even being in church, it's like we need to experience the power and love of God that breaks things in our lives and that develops us to be on fire for God. And sometimes we see things in church and it's not sparking. And so I would say is that throughout my high school years, I found myself, I was very successful in sports. in basketball, and I played softball, and I was a great kid and stuff. But I still found myself really depressed. There's something inside that would speak to my mind and things through the world and just tell you you're not good enough, you know. So I experienced up and down depression. No one knew it, but deep down inside, it's like, God, it's like I want to feel God's love. I know His love is real, but man. What, there's got to be something else. What is real? Is this church thing real? Is this, you know, people lifting their hands and then walking out being something else? Or is this like, I just didn't know. I knew it deep down inside. Go ahead.
Someone asked you a question. So you were in church. Yeah. I'm just going to have to just kind of shoehorn in every once in a while because I know you're going to get going. That's fine. So you were in church and you saw hypocrisy.
Right.
So you went to outside of the church, friends at school. School, friends in the neighborhood, friends in your community, because you were looking for the love of God in them? Is that the idea of it? You thought, if I can't find the real love of God in church because of these hypocrites, maybe it's elsewhere. Is that what you're saying?
Could be, yes.
Okay.
That's some of it. And then just compromising. Compromise on these little things opens a doorway to just a whole nother... another road.
So the friends you made outside of the, you pretty much started making more friends outside of the church than in the church. Is that the idea of it?
Unfortunately, both.
Okay.
Sometimes the friends in the church or not, you know.
Oh.
You know, just it all depends.
Yeah,
it really does.
Praising God on Sunday.
Right. Or it's just not, or it's not authentic, you know.
So
as far as being able to experience what it means to be depressed, have suicidal thoughts, and then going and looking for other relationships to be filled with this love, or just sometimes it's not even looking for it, but it's coming to you and not being strong enough to know, okay, to resist the temptations and stuff as a young person. This was when I was in my high school years, and just really, you know, and partying and things and just wanting to figure out just thinking that you're having fun, but you're really not. And so even though as successful I was in basketball and things, nothing was ever good enough. I just didn't feel, you know, I just didn't feel, just wasn't, there's just something missing, you know. I was very thankful that my parents would send me on mission trips. I was like, I went on a mission trip 13 and 14 years old, and then I went on a mission trip between my junior year and senior year. And those trips were life-changing, and I'll be so on fire for God, and then you go back to school, and you're like, oh, you know, the struggle, this peer pressure, and you're like, oh, but I was so on fire for God, and just saw God move in such a way, and He's changed my heart, and then you just come, and you get back into the world, you get back into this temptation, and all these things, and then the devil tries to bring condemnation. Well, you know, look, it wasn't real, or this and that, you know. So, long story short, so let's fast forward. I found myself, I had a scholarship to play basketball at a Christian college in Florida. And so then at the end of my senior year, I found out I was pregnant. And there's Trinity. and with this said, there's another fork in the road. I decided to have her, you know. And I will say that's the best thing, that's the best decision I've ever made in my life. Even after the college knew that I was pregnant, they still wanted me to come down there after I had her. So, but I didn't. But the thing is, and also to those who've ever knows anybody who's had an abortion or adoption or has lost the baby, just know those babies are in heaven and God forgives and everything else. But I just want to say is that, you know, this Trinity has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. And so there she is. This is Trinity. So so during those times, I would always, during the time when after I'd have her, you know, again, you know, the enemy will speak to you and feel like you're not adequate. You're not this, you know, that things, it's over now. Look at you, you know. And there's a point in my life where I'm just like experienced. I know God's real. I know this. But then there was a time where this was the fork in the road where I was like, you know what, God? I want to go all out for you. I don't want to just know church. I just don't want to know you like in a simple way. God, I want all of you. And
was there something that was there something that prompted that in your life?
I can't explain it. Sometimes it's the drawing of the Holy Spirit, or sometimes it's just this up and down journey that you have with the Lord, and you're just like,
you're tired of the up and down.
Tired of just the up and downs. Tired of just saying, like, you know what, God, if you're real, God, I just want to experience this, what I read in your word about this intimacy with you, about this power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to just see it through other people. You know, I want to know if this is real, God, I just give it all to you. Mm. I want all of it. And from the moment that happened, there was just such a shift and a change, because God was looking for me to surrender everything to him.
Right.
God wasn't looking for me to just look at a church of people, of how they treated God. Each other. God was saying, you go to church and you invest your life because you love me. You're pursuing me. This is what it's all about. And so I would say that I look back in this series with Fork in the Road, if you see the little gentleman behind us, you know, he's looking. And right now, during my life there, I felt like what he's doing right now is at a standstill. Sometimes we just stand still and don't make a decision. And we're just in a rut, because we're just not wanting to make a decision, because really, honestly, it's the reason why we're not making a decision is because we don't want to lose ourselves.
What do you mean by that?
It's because we don't want, there's always something inside of us that grips onto ourself that doesn't want to give to God. So it's a price to pay to be like, God, I give you everything.
It's kind of like there's a little bit of a fear that's there. If I give myself over to God, what's going to happen?
Or I really don't want to let go of this. I don't want to let go of myself. I don't want to lose control. I don't want there's just so much. That's that self that gets annoying. We're at a standstill.
It's interesting at the fork in the road that some people, those things that you just listed, stops them from making a choice to God.
Correct.
Because the enemy would have you to think that it's a bad decision, that you're going to give up so much, that you're going to be a lesser person and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want to read a scripture. When we talked about the time that came into my life where to be on fire for God was Revelation 3:15-16. Says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, which is right here, the standstill. I'm standing still, lukewarm, not getting cold, not getting hot. And neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And so that just became so real to me the moment that I was like, God, I want all of you. And nothing else of me. God, what is it? And he will lead and guide you in all that.
And that's a process, by the way.
It's a process,
yes. It totally is. You make a choice towards God, but then that whole yielding, it's a daily choice.
Yes.
It's a daily yielding. It's a daily dying to yourself.
It is.
You got to start somewhere.
Yes. And then let's just say that, you know, this is something that, you know, since we're talking about our lives and what God's done and stuff, this is where my next chapter in life, I would say, is that it is so important, the decisions that we make and the people who we choose to let be in our lives. Mm-hmm. Strongly enough, yes, is, you know, the people in your life will determine your destinations. The people who you hang out with, the people who you marry, the people who in your family, whatever it is the people. Relationships is really what causes hurt, or what causes real
dilemmas, crisis in your life.
Yeah. So I will say is that, so after all this, being on fire for God, going on mission trips and stuff and and everything, you know, the enemy will do whatever it takes to try to...
Here comes Mr. Good-looking guy, right?
Deceive, yeah. So I'm not going to get too far, yes, in depth in this. But I was found myself in a relationship. I thought that it was godly, but it wasn't. There was a lot of skeletons in the closet. I would say is that I don't know if anyone knows over there. being in this relationship, I was being stripped away of my identity spiritually, emotionally, and physically, I would say, being mentally and psychologically abused.
And this took place over time, right?
Right. It was very manipulative. It's not like you saw it. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
So fast forward that. I don't know if anyone would ever want to talk about any type of abuse or things, but I've been through some things that is like, it would make you feel like you're going crazy. And so with that said, the Lord just began to expose a lot of things before things got really out of hand with a lot of, in a lot of situations, let's just put it that way. That's all that needs to be said. And it was very severe. And I will say is that I got released from this relationship, and it was a healing process for sure. And this was the, I mean, out of all the things I had been through, I was like, God, I don't even know if there could be anything that's worse. And this was the worst of the worst. This was like, I can't even explain it. If there's been anybody here today that's been through something that where you don't feel your back is up against the wall, lies are being told about you, there's things that you just don't even know if there's hope, you don't even know financially how you're going to be make it through or anything else.
Even place, possibly even you're feeling like your life is in danger?
Correct.
Yeah.
And yes. And
so there's this major fear in your life, major insecurity, just the rug's been pulled out from under you.
Correct.
You don't know where else to turn.
Correct.
So what did you do?
God really just showed me a lot about his grace.
How so?
How so? Sometimes we look at grace as something that's like, you know, something that we don't deserve. But God was showing me just... well, it was pulling me to a place where you're just like, there's everything stripped away from me, and I have nothing but to trust you, to trust in him and to push through and to know that he is faithful. He's done all these things before, and during this time is his grace is when you are weak, he is strong. And it's coming before him being, God, I just can't. God, I'm weak. I need your strength. I can't do this on my own. I can't try to figure it out, but I just let you lead me. And he led me through every in every way, as far as a, yeah.
Yeah, and I know there's folks going through situations like this. I know for a fact there's at least one person here that's probably listening right now that is in the middle of this. What would you tell people that are watching on Facebook Live that are sitting here in a situation right now where they are struggling? They're being mentally, emotionally, maybe physically, verbally abused. They're in a situation where they feel hopeless and afraid and they don't know where else to turn. What would you tell folks like that are going through that right now? Hindsight being 2020.
Right.
How would you counsel them?
As far as really just all in pressing through and seeking the Lord.
And how do you do that?
How do you do that?
Yeah, how
okay.
How do you press in?
Well, how do you press? You press in by just, you press in by faith.
Okay, so how do you do that?
Okay. You press in by faith. Your emotions are raging as far as not, you know, not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, you know? And the way you press in, the faith is evidence of things not seen.
So faith is a spiritual thing, and you're saying that there's these emotions. The way that you think and the way that you feel can take charge if you're not careful.
Correct.
But you have to
yes.
make those things bow to the Spirit of the Lord in you and say,
yes.
Lord, I'm going to have faith in you even though I can't see the next step I'm
going
to take.
Yes.
Even though I don't know the next breath I'm going to breathe. I don't know where this is going, but I'm going to trust in you, right? Is that what you're saying?
Amen.
And how do you,
yes.
is that a every second of the day thing when you're right in the thick of it, when your mind is telling you otherwise, your emotions are telling you otherwise, and your circumstances are telling you otherwise? How does faith overcome that? How did that happen with you?
Well, it's funny you say it because it's actually what you were just saying after worship. It's all about at times where you don't feel like praising the Lord or thanking him and coming into the area of to worship the Lord. It's like you're just being vulnerable before the Lord. God, I need you. I'm so desperate for you. Even if I'm not feeling it, you're worshiping him. Holy Spirit, show me in your word. And the Holy Spirit will just confirm things and bring healing through his word. Scriptures that just come alive to you. And it's like because he wants your heart to be vulnerable to him, Lord. color, even though these circumstances and these things I've been through, God, that I'm broken, but God, you are a restorer. And just going before him daily and just saying, God, sometimes it is every moment between the car. Sometimes it's just like, if you really want him to touch you, he wants an act of surrender. So that if that looks like it is praising and worshiping the Lord, it's wanting to commune with the Holy Spirit. It's coming into that secret place of intimacy with God. And this is how he's drawing us. Sometimes in this brokenness and these things that the enemy tries to do what's bad, even we've had situations where it's like with sickness and things. John 10:10 says the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That is his mission. That is his plan. And that's why we're still here after the cross, after we're saved. Otherwise, we'd just be in heaven. It's because we need to proclaim the gospel and all these things. But we have to know is like the Pilgrim's Progress, there's a spiritual battleground going on. And we need to praise and worship the Lord and just see that he is faithful through our storms. And he is a restorer for those who have been abused before. Or sometimes we are carrying things from our childhood. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here today, but there's things in our childhood sometimes we don't even know. But the biggest thing through this, and you're doing all this, but then God also speaks to your heart. And one of the hardest things is with people is to forgive. Kind of like what Faye was saying last Sunday, you know, sometimes it's a process. And I want to read a scripture that really God began to, when he began to do a work in my life and just see a breakthrough that he's there, he's for me, he's not against me. And is that to learn to forgive. And then when you're really dealing with that, that's a hard thing to do. Because there's things that happen in your life you don't understand. But the thing is, there's so much power when you walk in forgiveness.
Real quick, before you read that scripture, I want to just make a point here. We talk about the battle. We talk about the battle, and the battle always seems to be out there somewhere. But the battle is right here in front of us, and we can realize that it's a personal battle that Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
You.
Yes.
You. And so the battle becomes personal. And once we realize that this is a personal attack on my soul, then it makes it so real that we can invoke God's presence by the act of our will, because sometimes we don't feel like it and our circumstances don't warrant it and our mind goes crazy, but we will ourselves to say, Lord, I will bless you. I invite you to come and fight my battles for me, my battles, and he will. Go ahead. I just wanted to point that out.
No, that's great, because that confirms, because that's one of the things I have written down here, is that we all have a free will. We have a choice. We have a choice to go by our flesh or go by our spirit. We have this will. I will decide. I will, even though these circumstances are like this, even though the enemy's trying to bring sickness, I will quote the word in authority and come against that in the blood.
And I'm going to say something too, that Satan probably saw your potential and tried to do everything he could at multiple forks in the road to cause that plan to not be accomplished, God's plan for your life. When you accepted Jesus, you put a bullseye on your heart. And when we have made ourselves a commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll serve you, Satan automatically says, okay, you're number one on my list, on my hit list, and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy you. God has a plan for your life, but Satan does too.
Correct.
Right? And
yes.
We can make a choice as to whether we allow Satan to fulfill his purposes or let God fulfill his purposes. We're not some pawns. It's an act of our will. And we can either yield to Satan or we can yield to God. And I know there's folks here today that are listening to this that have made poor choices and they've chosen to go away from the Lord. He's never left them or forsaken them. He's drawing them in today. And I want to encourage the folks to hear you out.
Yes, absolutely. Forgiveness, I want to read forgiveness in Mark 11:22. It says, and Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. This is the Amplified. Constantly have faith in God. He said, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in all of his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. And a lot of times we'll read that verse and then, but there's an end after that verse. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anyone against anyone, so let's say if it's family, past hurts, marital things, friends, whatever it is, if you have if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Amplified says, and let it drop. Leave it and let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you and your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings.
So you had to forgive somebody or something. Is that what you're saying?
I think I've had to forgive a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Some more deeper than the hurt and situation. Sometimes you have to learn to forgive yourself. Mm. That's also a powerful thing, is to forgive yourself. There's a lot of times in struggles where I was like, oh my gosh, how did I not see those red flags? How did I not see that? Wow. You know, and then you just say, how, you know, and then, you know, and then it's like, you know, God's real, and to forgive. But sometimes you have to forgive yourself. Sure. As well as the other people, the other person, whoever that may be. So with that said, and through that journey, is to encourage you all, is that I'm just a big nobody without Jesus. That's all I can say. I really am. Like, is that, you know, and to know that our life here is just like a pilgrimage. We're just pilgrims. We're just people passing through. And just to make it so essential to you guys, is that it's all about Jesus. And it's not about any of us, but it's about him and his glory and his will and his power. He's a God that wants to restore everything. And then life is like a vapor. It says in James 4 that this life is like a vapor. It's gone. It's here 1 minute, and the next minute it's gone. And just to know that, in the Bible it also just says, is to look to the things of the unseen, not the things that are seen. Because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so through this process, and through even more things that I've been through with even just this past with a relationship, and just things that have been, God is so faithful, and he's drawing us. He's drawing you. Whatever you're going through, he is drawing you. And just knowing is that he is a redeemer. He is a restorer. His word is true. His word does not lie. The enemy wants to lie and put lies in your head that this is not for you. These testimonies that people have been through is not for you, but that's a lie. That's a lie. Everyone has their own testimony of their own healings. And just to know is that time is short, and time to be serious with the Lord. The Lord's been pressing on my heart even last couple of months, is that his time is, we're all talking about it. A lot of people in the church, and the ladies in the church, and the men in the church, it was like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than just a Sunday. And just to encourage you guys, is God wants to bring such a healing and a restoration and such a fire in our hearts, Lord, that you just can't go back. You just can't go back and just know. And it's all about you experiencing the Lord. I can't do it for Trinity. We can't do it for each other. But just knowing is that he's not a respecter of persons, and that he wants to heal and restore and fill us with his fire and his love to a higher measure than you've ever could imagine.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Amen. Let's say amen to that one. Amen. And your journey is continuing. At Trinity, how old are you?
I'm 15.
15, okay. So some 15 years ago, we heard how you came into being, and you have walked with, been exposed to God and to Jesus and to his presence. You went on that missions trip back in last year, year and a half ago now. Something... It was about a year and a half ago. Yeah, wasn't it?
Last July.
It was last July. It wasn't even a year and a half ago. It was last July, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it was just last July. Oh, that's right. And during the time, there was probably, 12 of us there, I think, went on that group, on that trip, and you were one of several teenagers, probably the youngest in the group, I think. Mm. And it was on a Monday night, I think, or a Tuesday night, Monday night, that the place that we were meeting had this outdoor place that we ate and had church service, basically. It was really cool, by the pool, that no one would dare swim in, by the way, but it was, the food was pretty decent. But God's presence showed up that night, and we began to pray over people, And there was several that got filled with the Holy Spirit that night. You were one of them. It was a wonderful experience that you had. So July, here we are 9 months later. Is that fair enough? And so in your time since you were filled with the Holy Spirit and you were speaking in tongues and there was this wonderful just moment that you had, that the rest of the trip, there was a difference. I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You tell me what did you experience that night when you got filled with the Holy Spirit?
I'd say like I was experienced. I don't know how to put it in words, but
yeah, it's hard to put it into words sometimes.
It was just so filling, and like it was so real.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an awesome feeling, and you just
yeah, it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
It's more of an experience that is put into words. So you knew that you knew that you knew that something different.
Yes,
something
definitely
transformative took place in your life.
Yes.
In the Spirit of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since then, there's been what she mentioned earlier, life sets in. You go on these missions trips and you experience these things in your life that are away from the norm, and then you come back into the reality of school and the day-to-day.
Yeah.
Since that time to this time, there's been, you told me before church, this is what you wanted to share a little bit. So I want us to talk about that just a little bit. And it's all right if you cry, if you struggle through this, we might want to throw a tissue at you, and that's fine, because you said you might cry. Yeah. And that's fine. Please feel free to just be yourself. But since then to now, there's been some, you said it, like life has kicked in, and maybe there's been a little bit of a change now, or a little bit of a drift. What is it that's been going on since then that's made you feel upset, that makes you want to cry?
Honestly, it's just, I think it's the devil. He realized how I got so close to God, and he realized how close and how like I was influencing other people, and he just tried to make me feel just emotional or angry, or like all the time out of nowhere, and just like
so it's just emotional, angry towards people.
Yeah, or
you just kind of
mostly towards my mom, actually.
Oh wow. Here it comes, right? Okay, so forgiveness.
Yeah. I feel like he's, because he realized how close I did get with God and with people that are helping me through life and getting me closer to him, and like praying and speaking in tongues and worshiping him and just like having a great relationship with God. And then he just comes in and just puts all this guilt and stressful and struggles in my life.
Sure. Yeah, and we actually talked about that just a little bit ago, Trinity, that when things happen in our lives that are God things, Satan comes in and says, no, I'm going to see what I can do to steal that away. And that happens in every life. How many of that's ever happened before? Look out there, Trinity. Look at the hands. See, you're not alone. Satan doesn't want you to be empowered, joyful, victorious, effective.
That's right.
For God's kingdom. He doesn't want us to be filled with the Spirit and to make a difference in our generation. And so he'll keep us busy. He'll get us emotionally, you know, in knots, mad at mom, mad at friends, mad at world, at the world. We just can get so caught up with so many things. And if he can get us distracted to thinking on those things and not focusing on that daily pursuit of a relationship with him. Remember how you pursued him that night. There was a hunger that was there. You remember how you pressed in. You remember that?
Yes.
I'll never forget it. And I hope you never will either. It takes a constant pressing in like that. It takes almost a daily pressing in like that. We talked about that a little bit ago. When we're worshiping, it's not just an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, but it's every day, every moment of the day, we press in. And we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us every day. We allow the Holy Spirit to empower us every day. There's chains that are in people's lives that are constantly need to be broken. There may be chains of unforgiveness. There may be chains of anger. There may be chains of addiction. There may be chains of relationships that are binding us, and emotional and mental and physical anguish because of the abuse. Those are chains, real chains in our lives. And God wants to break those chains in our lives and help us to be a victorious follower of Him and servant of Him, an ambassador for Him. There's things that I know that you guys are experiencing in your life. I know in particular there's two or three here today, just because I know what you're going through. But I know that there's probably dozens that are watching right now on Facebook as well. And I'm here to tell you today that God is faithful and He can be trusted if you'll just press into Him. He's not just going to show up on a Sunday morning when we gather corporately to worship. He's there with us. His word promises He'll never leave us or forsake us. But you've got to take that step towards Him. And when you take one, He'll take a million towards you. But it's a daily pursuit. So that you experienced back last July, nurture it, cherish it, protect it, feed it. You know, put fertilizer on it. Let it grow and let it become fruitful. Pull the weeds out if you need to. Keep watering it. Take the rocks out, all the vines that would choke in. That's kind of what's going on right now. You got a lot of vines choking it out, trying to identify those things and say, no. I'm going to protect this, and I'm going to let it grow into something fruitful. And in all of our lives, He wants to do the same thing. And not just in your life as a 15-year-old, but there's a lot of 13, 14, and 15-year-olds here today. I dare you. I challenge you to press in. Get in there. Get in there with the Lord as a teen. Don't make the same mistakes that many of us have made in our teen years. Say, I'm going to live my life and serve the Lord later on. Serve Him now. Let your testimony be that God spared you. God delivered you. God directed you away from those things. And He kept you. Amen. And for those of you who are adults and maybe have taken a few forks that you shouldn't have, God is right there with you. And you can immediately take that detour back on the God's road today, if you will. I want the musicians and singers to come up, and I want to thank you all for sharing. Yeah, amen.